Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Oh, dear one, the parent who provokes a child provokes God. Think about that. How much better both parents and children will be when we nurture our children to godliness by letting them see a loving example of Jesus Christ in us.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hi there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today, we're talking about setting a godly example. You know, never in human history has it been more difficult to be a successful parent than today. You know, if you go into bookstores, the shelves are packed with advice on how to raise your children and be a successful parent. And these are not only books in bookstores. Hey, let's bring it up to date. You can buy books online, okay? I sell my books online. And all of these books about parenting may be extremely helpful, but all of the books in the world combined cannot compare to the infinite wisdom contained in the Word of God. Every parent must answer these important questions. Will you raise your children by the laws of Dr. Spock or the laws of God? Will you allow your precious sons and daughters to drown in the sewer of permissive secular humanism in which there is no absolute right or wrong? Or will you teach your little ones to live on the solid rock, where every person is responsible for his or her own conduct, where choices have consequences, and you live or die by those choices? Every moment you delay in raising your little ones according to the Bible, you are giving the opposition a clear, undefended shot at them. The Lord told Moses to speak to the parents of Israel, saying, "You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws." That's Leviticus 18, verses 3 and 4. Peter writes these words, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. You are his own special people, different from the world, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That's 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Christian families are not odd, but they are definitely different from the world, or at least they ought to be. Paul recorded a revolutionary statement in Ephesians 6, verse 4, when he said, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Notice that God placed the responsibility of spiritual training squarely on the shoulders of the father. Take note, Dad. Dad's getting the kids into church, Christian youth activities and other opportunities for spiritual growth is not something you can shrug off and expect your wife to handle. No, your children's spiritual growth is your responsibility too. Paul's statement was especially revolutionary because there was a law in Rome called the patria potestis, meaning the father's power. The fathers of Rome had absolute power over their children. A father literally had the right to kill the child at birth if he so desired. He would sell his children as slaves or punish them with torture. When a child was born in Rome, he was laid at the feet of his father, and if the father picked the child up, the child lived. But if the father turned his back on the child was thrown into the streets. From there, the child could be taken to the forum, where female babies would be picked up by Roman pimps who would raise the child for prostitution purposes. If the child was male, he could become a slave or a gladiator trained to fight and kill, just to amuse the Roman aristocracy. When Paul said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath," it was shocking to the people of his culture. The concept of a father receiving his child with tenderness and compassion was totally foreign to many of Paul's readers. The Bible portrays children as a gift from God. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 5, whoever receives one little one like this in my name receives me. David wrote in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Scripture commands that we are to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord instead of provoking them to anger. What does it mean to provoke a child to anger, and how can we avoid doing it? Well, here are some tips that will help. You know, you can provoke your child to being overly possessive. Deprive your child of expression, fence them in, and refuse them the opportunity of self-discovery, and they will be provoked. The older your child gets, the more freedom for self-discovery they need. When they leave your home as an adult, their skills of decision-making should be in place. Otherwise, you release a lamb into a society of wolves. You can provoke your child by preferring one child over another, or comparing one child to another by saying, "Why can't you be more like your older brother or younger sister? What's the matter with you?" Two of the most powerful business people, I won't use any names, two of the most powerful business people that I've known of carry deep emotional scars from parents who constantly compared them to their siblings in unfavorable ways. In the Bible, Rebekah preferred Jacob over Esau. Isaac preferred Esau over Jacob. The preferential treatment of father and mother destroyed their family. Jacob and Esau hated each other most of their adult lives. You can provoke your child by setting unrealistic, unattainable goals for them, too. That's true. Don't do that. Let them discover for themselves. Let them follow the instruction and leading of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. Let them find their own path with God's help. Don't provoke your child by pushing them, prodding them, nagging them to do what you want them to do. You can provoke your child by overindulging them. If you want to raise a certified brat, then just give your child everything he wants and when he wants it. You can provoke your child with discouragement. Working without reward is destructive. A great Irish novel was written on the theme of the road to nowhere. During the Irish Depression, the government gave men jobs to build a road. It gave them a sense of purpose and dignity, and the work produced joy in the land. And then it was discovered that the road led to nowhere. It was work without purpose or reward. The news destroyed their joy and their initiative and turned their work into sheer drudgery. Don't worry, you won't spoil your children by giving them praise, encouragement, or rewards for a job well done. You can provoke your child by pretending to be perfect. It sounds like this. Well, you know, when I was your age, blah, 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 blah. I'm guilty as charged. I think all of us do that at one point or another, don't we? You know, you can also provoke your child by neglect. According to a UCLA study, the average father in America spends just 40 seconds a day talking to his children. That's neglect. One of the most common remarks I hear from children and that I've heard over the years as a pastor is, my daddy never has time to play with me. You can provoke your child with your toxic speech, abusive words, criticism, sarcasm will destroy your child emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Many fathers literally devastate their children with their hateful speech. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. You can provoke your child with physical abuse. No parent has the right to abuse a child. Physical discipline should always be administered when you are calm, and it should be done in love and self-control, not in vicious anger or retribution for something your child has said or done. Don't do that. Matthew 18, verse 5 gives a solemn warning to parents concerning their children. Jesus' own words, listen. He said, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Oh, dear one, the parent who provokes a child provokes God. Think about that. How much better both parents and children will be when we nurture our children to godliness by letting them see a loving example of Jesus Christ in us. Praise God. Oh, I thank you, Father, for everyone who's listening today. I thank you for every parent, every mother and father, every child, every one of us is somebody's child. And Father, I ask you to bless families, especially during this time of terrible upheaval in America, in the aftermath of a very contentious election and what happened in the United States Capitol. And not just that, but the riots that have gone on in this country all of this past summer and into the fall. People are hurting. People are afraid. People are confused. People need you, Father God. People need Jesus. And Father God, I pray that you would touch hearts and minds today, calm nerves, fill people with your Holy Spirit, draw those who are wayward back to you, back to your Son, Jesus. And Father, I ask you to bless parents today. Bless them with patience, with kindness, with godly wisdom to raise their children and to set a godly example before their children and grandchildren. Father, for those who are far away from you, who do have little children, I pray that you would draw their hearts back to you, Lord. Those young parents who once knew you when they were little, draw their hearts back to Jesus, I pray, that they may raise their children, their little ones, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in God's word, in a Christian home. Help them to teach their little ones about Jesus while the little ones are still little, before the world can get a hold of them. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. And thank you, Lord, for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, everybody. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Pastors, I would ask you to please go to my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and check out the testimonials page of the pastors, many of the pastors who have had me come to their church to speak and to minister in morning and evening services. We've had so many wonderful things happen in these past 10 years since I've been on the road. I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm just saying what Jesus has done in our midst. Many people have given their lives to Christ. We've seen people actually healed in their bodies from various maladies. We've seen others delivered from drug and alcohol addictions. We've seen people baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've seen the Holy Spirit move powerfully in our services. So please do, Pastor, please give me some prayerful consideration about inviting me to come and to minister in your church. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. I'll become a friend to you, a prayer partner. I will lift you up before the congregation, and I will preach. I promise I will preach and teach the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank you for listening today. Please grab one of my two latest books at Amazon.com. Both of the books came out in 2020. The first one was called Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. The other book that I released in 2020 is called Pertaining to Life and Godliness. You'll be blessed by them, I promise. So until we meet again, hey, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.